Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm thankful to be here today. Thankful that we safely made it here. We're not used to driving in the city. And it's been a few years since I was in New York City. It's good to be back here again. There was a couple times along the way that we got into some really heavy traffic. Thinking to myself, I should text Brother Lukey and let him know we're going to be a few minutes late. Well, then it changed around. The arrival time was about right, and it fluctuated both ways and back and forth. And anyways, thankful that God has brought us safely here. It's good to be with you all, and it's good to see God's children here in the city. By way of introduction, my wife and I live in the little town of Wellsboro in the northern part of Pennsylvania. It's about 20 minutes from the New York line. But as you know, the New York state extends east, so we travel east most of the way to get here. And yeah, it's a little town in the mountains in the northern part of Pennsylvania, and to welcome you all to come and visit Pine Creek if you ever have an opportunity. We have, God has blessed us with 7 children. We have the 5 girls with us today, and the 2 boys are the oldest. They stayed at home. And we're thankful, like I said, to be here with you all today. I ask for your prayers as we go through these meetings. It was interesting, we sang that song, it's one of my favorites. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. I need no other argument, no other plea. It's enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Is that your testimony today? You can turn to John 14. John is one of my favorite Gospels, and we'll be looking at that a little bit today, or this afternoon, and throughout the weekend. We'll be looking in the book of John. But we're going to start in John chapter 14, and I think we're just going to read the first 6 verses here. Brother Lukey already referred to our theme verse this weekend in verse 6. We'll start reading it at verse 1 in John chapter 14. It says, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He is nearing the end of his ministry here on this earth. And he's trying to prepare them for the time when he is going to depart and no longer be here physically on the earth. And he tells them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then he says, and whither ye go, whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas was a little confused. He says in verse 5, Lord, we know not. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And this is Jesus' response. He says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The message today, I've chosen the title, Jesus is the way. As of January 1st, 2024, it is estimated that there are about 8 billion, 19,876,189 people in the world. Of course, that's an approximate number. Only God knows that exact amount. But over 8 billion people. And if I'm not mistaken, about 8 million of them are right here in New York City. My heart was just really impressed. As we were driving in over the George Washington Bridge, hoping that no ship strikes one of its pillars, all these people. All of these people. But you know, out of all these 8 billion people in the world, there's some things that we all have in common. Every person is a descendant of Adam and Eve. Every person has inherited the sin nature through Adam. And every person, because of their sin, is condemned to die. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, in verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a glorious message. We were all condemned to die, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Jumping ahead to verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We were all hopelessly lost in sin. Once I was bound in sin's galling fetters. But God has made a way to be redeemed back to him and to inherit eternal life. Praise God. The message, the burden of this message, I just want to, it's nothing new, but I just want to engrave it in our hearts and in our minds today again that Jesus is the way to be redeemed back to God. Jesus is the way. In Acts chapter 4, we have the account when Peter and John were brought before the religious leaders at the temple. to be questioned after the healing of the lame man. Remember the lame man that was at the temple? And Peter said to him, I don't have silver and gold to give you, but I have something better. And he healed the lame man, and he was walking and leaping and praising God, and it raised quite a fuss in the temple there. The people were amazed. The religious leaders were upset at Peter and John because they were causing a disturbance and drawing attention to themselves, and they were brought before the leaders to be questioned about this incident. And this is what Peter responded to them. They were jealous of Peter and John. This is what Peter responded to them in verse 8 in chapter 4 in Acts. It says, Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And then in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the way, and he is the only way to be redeemed back to God. On our way here, we got into a bit of a traffic jam on Route 80. I don't remember exactly where it was, but there was some merging and some construction, and it was just really backed up. And we had the option, it came up on the GPS, that we could go and take the exit and make a big loop and get around it. But the driving time was estimated to be about the same, so we just waited it out. And then as we were coming into the city, it kept popping up. Alternative route, do you want to accept it? You can go this way, and it's a little quicker. But then that changed, and a few minutes later, it was better to go this way. I didn't follow every one of them. Maybe we would have made it here a little quicker if I would have. But it was just interesting to me how many different ways there would be to get to this location from Wellsboro. That's oftentimes when you put an address in, it'll show you maybe three or four different routes that you can select. One might be more direct, but take more time. Another one may be a little more distance, but you have faster traveling time and you can actually do it quicker. So there's oftentimes multiple ways to get to a destination. The destination, I trust, in our hearts today is to go, as Jesus said, to be with him, that where I am, there ye may be also. That is our goal, our destination. But unlike traveling and mapping a route out with GPS, where there's multiple ways, there is only one way to get there. Jesus is the way. In John chapter 18, I'm going to read some verses here. We'll start at verse 1. And read to verse 18. In John chapter 10, starting at verse 1, Jesus is talking to the people in a parable. And he says, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. How well do you know the voice of the shepherd? This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then he goes on to say that the hireling, or the hired servant, is not like the shepherd. When trouble comes, when danger comes, he runs away, and he lets the flock unattended, and they're scattered. But Jesus says in verse 14 again, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, and that's you and I. Jesus was talking to the Jews here, God's chosen people. And then he says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Jesus is the way, not just for God's chosen people, but for everyone of those 8 billion people in the world today. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is the only door or only gate to the fold, the family of God, because he laid down his life for our sins and rose again, victorious over death and hell and the grave. Jesus alone is the way to our Heavenly Father. Everyone on this earth, every one of us here today, is on a journey. Everyone is traveling to a destination. In Genesis 6:24, it talks about Enoch, how he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In Genesis 6, verses 8 and 9, it says, Noah walked with God, and he did according to all that God commanded him. And then, if you look back in Genesis chapter 4, it gives us a picture of the wickedness of the ways of Cain's descendants. And there was only evil in the eyes of the Lord on the earth. The wickedness was great. And then in verses, in chapter Genesis 4, starting at verse, we're not going to read these verses, but starting at verse 26, the whole way to chapter 5, verse 32, There's a picture of the descendants of Seth and how they walked with God. There's two different walks. And in verse 26, it says, in Genesis 4, it says, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." So we see two different paths, two different destinations in people's walk with God. And all throughout the history of Israel's kings, there were those who walked after the ways of the Lord and those who walked after the ways of evil. In 1 Kings 15:3, Abijah walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. And then in 2 Kings chapter 8:18, Jehoram walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Ahab, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then in 2 Kings 22, verse 2, it's talking about Josiah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 32, Jehoshaphat walked in the ways of Asa his father, and departed not from him, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Two different walks. Two different ways. Two different destinations. Let's look at these two roads that we can travel in life. Turn with me to chapter 7 in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. We'll start in at verse 13. Matthew 7, verse 13. Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Let's consider these two roads that we can travel in life. The first one is the broad way. So the gate to enter the broad way is a wide gate. By that it means there's little requirements. And there's no sacrifices to make. The broad way has a wide gate because there's no commitments necessary. And the broad way has a wide gate, so it is therefore appealing to enter. And many there be which go in thereat, it says, because it's appealing. Little requirements, no sacrifices to make, no commitments necessary. Why not? So the gate to enter is wide, and then the way is broad. So that means it's easy traveling. There's lots of room, and it's easy traveling. It satisfies our carnal desires. There are no boundaries. No restrictions. There's no accountability on the broad way. That's appealing, isn't it, to our carnal nature? We don't have to answer to anybody. And there is many that travel this way. So the broad way has lots of company. And it goes along with the crowd. it's the path of least resistance. I hope you are not traveling this way this morning or this afternoon. Because in the end, even though it satisfies our carnal desires, even though it looks appealing, even though it's easy traveling, in the end, it leads to destruction and eternal death. So let's talk about the narrow way a little bit. Instead of the gate to enter being wide, it is narrow. So there are requirements to enter the narrow way, enter the narrow gate. One requirement is repentance and confession of sin. Another requirement to enter the narrow gate is a contrite and a broken spirit. Another requirement is giving your heart to Jesus. And another one is dying to self and sin. To the carnal man, it does not look attractive. And then the way is narrow. Traveling can be difficult at times. It goes against our carnal desires. Boundaries are important. Accountability to God and our fellow travelers is necessary in traveling the narrow way. And then there are a few that are traveling this way. Sometimes you have to travel alone. You can't go along with the crowd. But even though it feels like you're traveling alone, Jesus is always with you. And the narrow way takes a constant effort to travel in. It takes a vigilance to stay on the narrow way and a vision of the goal will help you stay on this way. Even though it doesn't sound attractive to our carnal nature, in the end, brothers and sisters, it leads to eternal life with God in heaven. Which way are you traveling today? We continue on in these verses in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." He says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. But every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Brother Lukey talked about the narrow way requiring obedience. That's where it is written. Doing the will of my Father which is in heaven is required of us to travel the narrow way. This afternoon, there's two different kinds of fruits that can come from your life. Is it good fruit? Is it the fruit of the Spirit? Is there love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, radiating or being produced by your life. Or is it bad fruit? Impatience, anger, malice. I think of my own heart and my own life, and the times when I respond impatiently. And it's a challenge to me to evaluate my fruit, and a challenge to me to evaluate where my heart is and what road am I traveling on. Verses 24 to 27, Jesus continues on, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, it stood, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." What foundation are you building your life on? Is it upon the rock? We have an auto repair shop there in the little town of Wellsboro. And that puts us in contact with quite a few people, a lot of different customers that we've learned to know over the years. And we've been in that business about 18 years now. And over the years, I think back of all the different families that have been coming as customers, working with them, do a job for Dad, and after a bit, one of the children brings his vehicle, and we do work for them, and you try to build relationships with them, and you learn to know them. And then, after a while, you hear that Mom and Dad are separated, and the children are kind of torn between. And they're scattered. And there's neighbors just down the street from us. We've learned to know over the years. And Mom and Dad separated and got divorced. And now Dad's with another woman, remarried to another woman. And those children, the torment that puts them through. But they are walking on the broad way. They made choices in life that took them further away from God. And it doesn't bring satisfaction. And it just grips my heart as I think of those families as they're being torn apart because of choices that people have made. And then we do some work for a company that produces equipment to install in a vehicle if a person in the state of Pennsylvania is caught driving under the influence of alcohol. They have to put this device on their vehicle that will prevent them from starting it without blowing into the device and making sure they don't have alcohol in their breath. And we install these systems in the vehicle. So again, that puts us in contact with people who have been arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol. And it's interesting of working with those people. Some of them are just angry and resentful because they have to put this in their car and it's a hassle to work with, and sometimes the system gives problems and it frustrates them to no end, and they blame everybody else instead of realizing that the problem is they made the choice to go the broad way. And then there's some that are very nice about it, and they're very apologetic because they have to get us to work through this problem that they're having with the system. And I had one fellow that he said, "You must get tired of working with people like us." I said, "No, this is part of the job." And he went on to say that he went through, I don't remember if it was just a broken home situation or if it was an actual divorce, or either way, he went through some relationship struggles in his life. And he had a lot of pain and hurt in his heart. And he turned to alcohol. And he said it only brought more pain. It drowned it out for a little bit, but it only came back. The problems didn't go away. Instead, they got worse. And his testimony was that he found Jesus. Praise God. And now he is striving to walk on the narrow way. And there is a peace in his heart. Even though it's a struggle and there's difficulties, he has found the way back to God. I trust you and I have found that way this afternoon. How is it with you? If you realize that you are a sinner and have not asked Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, I plead with you, talk to someone. Open your heart to the call that God has on your heart. If you feel Him calling you, don't resist it. Yes, it requires sacrifice. It requires a giving up of self. But there is such a peace and a joy that comes with serving the Lord and walking the narrow way that makes it worth every bit of it. Or maybe you are a Christian, but you're struggling with temptation. Maybe you feel depressed and hopeless. Confess it. Talk to someone, a fellow Christian or someone in your ministry. Just commit your heart's desires to God. Open your heart, and God will give you peace. Brothers and sisters, as we walk this narrow way, as we go through this uneven journey in life, let's remember that Jesus is the way, and He is the only way to be redeemed back to God. Let's keep our eyes on the goal. My goal is to continue on with this theme. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus is the way. We'll talk about Jesus is the truth, and then Jesus is the life. Let's kneel for prayer.